Our prayer of illumination. Please read along with me. Holy God, fill us with your Spirit as we hear your word this day, that we may be justice seekers and peacemakers, sharing your life among those who are forgotten, weak, or persecuted, and revealing to all your glory. Amen.
It is a blessing and a privilege for me to introduce my best friend, my soulmate, my wife Judy, who's going to be sharing the good news and a witness with us today. And this is something that I don't do with every liturgist, what I'm about to do right now. Except Marv and Jason the next time they're up here.
And as I mentioned to Neil in the first service regarding Valentine's Day gifts from the Helping Hands sale, if it's not Pampered Chef or Club Aluminum, forget it. Oh, I have added yarn. Yarn is okay for that list. So, I'm going to share to you today the scripture I've chosen is the old one that you've all heard probably 3,000 times from Ecclesiastes. Everything has its time, everything has its season. So listen for the word of God. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. There is a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already is. And God seeks out what has gone by. And this is the word of people, or the word of God for the people of God, and we are the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I didn't prepare a sermon for today because a sermon requires certain components, exegesis and study and research and consideration of context, historical, social, all that kind of stuff. And that used to be me. But I haven't done that in so long that it's not me anymore. So what I want to share with you today is some of my life, some of my struggles, and some of my ongoing search for God, and some of what I've learned. So I guess this is kind of an offering, not a testimony, not a sermon. It's an offering because I'm not standing here as a preacher or a pastor. I'm just standing here as me, Judy, and I hope that I'm someone like you, and that being someone who loves God and someone who wants to love God better. Pray with me, please. Thank you, God, for being magnificent. Thank you for caring so much about us when time after time we fall short in our attempts to follow your Son. Be with us in these moments, in these words, and open our hearts so that we can experience you even in our imperfections. Amen. So Neil and I have been here now for about 5.5 years. And I know that I've been in different settings with different ones of you, and in those settings I've shared some of my stories. So I'm sharing another story today, and it's not a pretty story. And if you've already heard it, I do apologize, but I hope you'll bear with me. And I'm a little bit drippy. When I was a child, a young child, I was molested over a period of time. And there were the usual admonishments from the molester: it's your fault, you're a bad person. If you tell, nobody will believe you. If you tell, nobody will love you anymore. If you tell, I will hurt you. So I didn't tell. I didn't tell for about 30 years. And I remember not being knowledgeable about female physiology when I was 9 years old. I remember gaining weight in third grade and becoming quite chubby. And in my little 9-year-old mind, I remember being terrified that I was pregnant and that my family would learn. I thought I could do it. That my family would learn my terrible secret and stop loving me. I was pretty certain that God had already stopped loving me. But when you're 9 and God is out there somewhere, it was okay for a 9-year-old not to worry about God. But I couldn't lose my family. I couldn't lose my home. And I couldn't lose my safety, such as it was. So I kept that secret, as I said, for over 30 years. You can imagine what kind of terror that plays in a child's mind, what kind of havoc on a child's life, a child's emotions, a child's body, a child's spirituality. And statistically, I know I'm not alone. I know that some of you in this room know firsthand the things of which I speak. And the things of which I speak are the aftermath of being molested, the self-hatred, the disgust with oneself, the always feeling dirty, the shame, being sure that you're not good enough, the sense of being damaged goods. And there's also the waiting, the hypervigilance, the never being able to relax, because at any moment I could have been exposed for what had happened to my family and what little peace and safety I felt would in that moment be shattered, completing every awful scenario that I ever could have imagined. Scenario of being cast out by my family, of being shunned and hated, as much as I was sure I deserved to be hated. And not only feeling hated, but hating back. How horrible for a 9-year-old to hate. I hated the molester. I hated my parents for not somehow reading my mind and knowing that this had happened to me and for not saving me. I hated my sisters because they weren't going through what I was going through. Well, you can imagine what a mess I was as a child, as a teen, as a young woman. Every waking moment was filled with confusion and fear and shame. Good girl on the outside, but inside I knew what I really was. I was a dirty girl. I was a bad girl. So I tried really hard. I tried too hard, overachieving, hoping that people would be so distracted by what they were seeing on the outside that they would never guess what was on the inside. I was so insecure. I was so needy. I was so desperate. I was so alone, and I was so in need of a season of healing. I was in need of a season of building up and laughter. I was in need of a season to give up shame and to throw away pain. I was in need of a season to speak out and to mend. Have you ever needed a change of season in your life? I know each of you has had your own troubles, your own traumas, your own problems, your own tragedies to bear. We've all experienced unkindness, rudeness, slights, hostility, hurt, lies, insults, manipulation. Have you ever been tricked? Have you been deceived, gossiped about, avoided, neglected? Have you been hated? Have you felt anger, fear, shame, embarrassment? Have you felt stress, humiliation, jealousy? My guess is that most of you in this room have had the experience of at least some of these emotions. And my guess is that even though the reasons for these feelings may not be the same as my reasons, the result is similar. And the result is a sense of loss. It's a loss of self. It's a loss of relationship. It's a loss of the feeling of God's presence in your life. Have you ever struggled with deep feelings of pain or loss or unworthiness? I'm hoping that some of you can say yes, and that I'm not just standing up here all alone making a fool of myself. I'm hoping that I have company on this very difficult and painful journey to a season of healing, finally. And I'm hoping some of you are ready to say with me, I'm ready for a new season. I'm ready for a season of gratitude and courage and blessing and joy, and I'm ready for what is good and holy and kind. I'm ready. But you know what I've noticed? I say I'm ready for all the good stuff, and yet frequently I find myself focusing on what is wrong with me, what is wrong with other people, what's wrong with my job, what's wrong with the world. It becomes very easy to stalk negativity and let that negativity become your normal, my normal. It's too easy to be unkind. It's too easy to be critical and negative. We talk about what we don't want rather than what we do want. We gripe about what doesn't work, and we miss the chance while we're griping to create something that does work. Boy, when life brings us down, it can bring us down hard. And some of us get stuck there for a while. And unfortunately, some of us get stuck there forever. I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for you. So here's what I've decided for me, and maybe it will mean something to you too. Number one, I still believe I'm created in God's image. And I still believe I'm an adopted child of God. And I still believe that God is in me. Someone did something bad to me, but that doesn't make me bad. Bad things happen because sin is in the world. God doesn't cause bad things to happen, and God never abandons us, ever. Bitterness or hardness of heart are not justifiable responses to bad things, because bitterness and hardened hearts shut God out and prevent us from healing. Another thing I've decided. Neil will tell you how stubborn I am. He's real good about telling people how stubborn I am. I have realized after 61 years of living that I am not perfect. I am not capable of being perfect. And I finally accept that fact. Another thing, I believe that God accepts our imperfections. God accepts that as well, and it's okay with God. That's why God sent Jesus to cover our imperfections. And finally, I believe that we are God's joy and God's pleasure, and that it really deeply pains God to see us making life so difficult when we focus on the negative and when we make life a contest with winners and losers. Because when we're created in God's image, nobody is a loser. We can overcome anything. Anything that happens to us, we can overcome because God loves us unconditionally, and God is in us, and God strengthens us. We are forgiven people. We are forgiven for all of our unloving thoughts, our unloving feelings, and our unloving actions. And we need to remember that God's forgiveness isn't just for you or for me. It's for everybody. It's all who it's for all who believe and receive, even for the person that we don't like. And we can only move forward into a new season when we receive God's forgiveness with a humility that recognizes and claims forgiveness for all people, even those who have hurt us deeply. So over 50 years later, God has given me the power to let go and to forgive. The old negative Judy would say, "Gosh, I'm a slow learner." But the new Judy says, "Woohoo, I learned." Last spring, Neil came home from the office and found me in the house, sweating like a pig, red, exhausted. And I told him that during the day, I had had a sense of urgency to go out into the desert. And I walked over into the trust lands across from our house. And I walked and I walked and I walked. And this voice kept saying to me, "Find the stone. Find the stone." And I'm walking all over that crazy desert. And I'm looking at every stone I pass. And I'm thinking, "What stone?" And the voice says, "You will know the stone when you find it." And so I kept walking and I kept looking, and I walked all the way over to the base of the mountains, and I even climbed up a little first hill of the mountain, and I wasn't finding any stone. I wasn't recognizing anything. I turned around and I came home a little bit different route, and I'm still looking for the daggone stone, and I never did find the stone until this week when I was preparing this message. And it dawned on me that as I was preparing this offering for you, son of a gun, a year ago, God was preparing me for this day, for today, opening my mind and opening my eyes to the very thing, the stone that was weighing me down, that was holding me back from God's freedom and joy. It was unforgiveness. My heart a year ago obviously wasn't ready And so at that time, all I could see or comprehend was an actual stone. But God had planted the seed, and today I understand what that stone is. What season is your life? Is it the season that fills you and fulfills you? Or is there a stone weighing you down? A stone that's keeping you from growing in God's grace and love? Let me read over this again, that there is a season for everything, every activity, a time to be born, a time to die, to plant, to uproot, to kill, to heal, to tear down, to build. There's a time to weep, a time to laugh, to mourn, to dance, to scatter those stones that are holding you back, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, to keep from embracing, a time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, a time to mend, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. God's grace, God's love, God's constancy are helping me find my way into a season of moving closer to God's ultimate plan for my life. I'm planting right now. I'm healing. I'm building and laughing. I'm dancing and I'm scattering those stones, thank goodness, and I'm searching, I'm mending, I'm speaking. This morning, and I'm loving. And I thank you for over the last 5.5 years. I thank you for being a part of my life, a part of my journey. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your friendship. I thank you for your love and for the ways that you remind me every time I'm with you, of God's presence and love and power. And please pray with me. Creator God, you never cease to amaze us with your goodness, your bounty, your love for us. We can't wait to see what happens next because we know your power will always prevail. Evil cannot win. Our earthly days are at times very confusing and frustrating, but our faith holds, and we know things will be fine because you are in control. Forgive us our impatience, our arrogance in assuming that our will is yours. Help us to clearly see your will. Help us to have patience, compassion, and to forgive those who have hurt us. Give us strength and courage to identify the things that hold us back from knowing your plan for each of us. It's you we love, it's you we praise, and it's you we glorify today and always. Amen.